The agenda is here. Marcus had requested that we deal with some of these issues that seem to have concrete resolutions at the beginning of the call. Wynn had responded that she has an appointment starting at 10:30 that she needs to go to. So, Marcus, if it's okay with you, I'd like us to focus on the annotation container type discussion. So, Paul, we have Lynn on the phone, and then after we get done with that, we can switch to going through the issues, if that's okay with you.
Yeah, that's certainly fine.
Okay. Nicholas, you're up to scribe today. Would you mind?
No, it's okay.
Okay. Great, thanks. Any updates or changes to the agenda before we start? All right. First up is issue 196, which is Nicholas's proposal to add the annotation container type. So this issue kind of came out of the discussion that we've been having with Lynn on a variety of the Drupal use cases, specifically Drupal's desire to use something that we've been calling language maps, but the group feels is something else. So this annotation proposal that Nicholas has put forward is effectively an attempt at addressing that issue for Drupal and potentially addressing some of these other issues concerning application-specific annotations in the JSON markup. But Nicholas, would you mind giving a quick introduction to the proposal that you have here, and then we can have some discussion on it? I'll scribe for you.
All right. Well, let's see. As said, this proposal is sort of a unification of the various ideas we've had regarding how to use maps to map some kind of values and use objects as maps for certain keys to certain values, where the keys do not represent properties of an object, but actually represent some kind of value in the mapped values, some kind of property value. This is, in a way, a generalization of the language map proposal, which is issue 133. The difference is that whereas issue 133 looks for the language tag and only maps literals who have language, this annotation suggestion doesn't actually define the meaning of the key and does not bind it to anything semantically, so you cannot map it to RDF. And the reason for doing that is that there are, in the wild in JSON usage, often cases where you pick out some kind of value to use as an index in an object to have easier access to it. It could, as we've seen, be used to map authors by ID or role or some kind of relation to the language of the context. And that one is what we've interpreted the Drupal use case to be, so it seems to fit. I think that should sum up the gist of it. There's also a part about if this should survive expansion and be round-trippable. And I don't know if you've had time to look at that, but I wrote in my next-to-last comment in that issue how this could be done more unobtrusively, here's the comment link, than what was originally suggested in the last paragraph. Also, while I'm on the phone, so to speak, I might add that this proposal does not, in the current shape, address the microdata shape. I think that we should first discuss the proposal in itself and then discuss the shape of microdata separately. You can read about that in the last comment I have in the issue, which outlines the details. To sum it up, the proposal is about not having meaning to keys, but the term still has value. And in the microdata case, the term does not have value. In the microdata case, it's called properties, but the keys are the actual properties. So it's an inverse of the general mapping situation.
Greg, would you mind going over some of your concerns with this proposal?
Well, I think changing the mechanism to put the annotation key an annotation key in the values of the property that had an annotation property, in other words, what Nicholas did, is much better, and I think it helps preserve the shape better. Of course, I'm still concerned that we're basically retaining information and creating a data model which is not based upon an RDF data model. But this is pretty similar to what the shape we did with the language maps, but obviously in a more generic form. So I can certainly go along with doing that. In terms of the last point that Nicholas had made about the microdata type example, I was starting to go through myself what the algorithmic implications would be, and I think we could probably use the same mechanism of describing a property as being an annotation with container annotation. In the case of the microdata properties, it would have a different effect, but I think that we can detect the differences in a couple of lines, difference in the expansion algorithm in order to unroll that. Now, whether, of course, there might be some implications on round tripping of that would need to be looked at more. So perhaps something using ID is more explicit. I think if we're going to take the trouble to do this, I think we should definitely do something that does that inverse property and allows us to deal with not only microdata, but other systems that do something similar.
Okay. Lynn, would you mind kind of weighing in on this, letting us know if you think that this addresses the Drupal use case?
Sure. This actually does address it if it round trips. It's actually, you know, I think that I was assuming that this was how you guys were thinking about language maps, and of course you were assuming that I was thinking about it in a more languagey way. So I think that was part of the disconnect in that development process. And so this actually is pretty much what I was expecting and what I think should work for us.
Great. Okay, so this...
I mean, as long as... It doesn't actually introduce blank nodes or anything, because, you know, we just have IDs here. We don't have any other properties. I'm assuming it doesn't introduce blank nodes anywhere in the equation, but...
Not as far as I know.
Okay, cool.
It does require, I believe, that you to define that each property that you might use in that context, you know, sort of annotation property, be declared as such in the context.
Okay.
So I think that you have, we say that. Oh, I no, I take that back. I take that back.
Okay.
It does not do that. Yeah.
Yeah, they would just need to do title, and in title they would say it's an annotation, and then
it's container annotation of the property that references those annotation properties. It's in the ID case that it would be if we would need something else that would declare that specifically properties was an annotation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the microdata use case, and I think Nicholas is right. Let's not deal with that at the same time. I think it's something that, if push comes to shove, we can put in a new feature for it. But I do agree with Greg that it looks like we could somehow apply this annotation feature to that. Okay, so this is good. It means there are two parts of this proposal. One of them is having the annotation property attached to having the annotation property, and the second part of it is making sure that annotation can round trip from compact to expanded back to compact form. I think we have pretty broad agreement on the first one, and I think we might have agreement on the second one. Are there any other parts of this proposal that people are concerned about, or feel like we're making a mistake here by adding this feature? Nicholas, you're on the queue.
I just want to emphasize what I think works if we for the round tripping, which I also wrote, but I haven't thought it through and tried it out, but it seems to me that if round tripping would work, you could add annotations by, for instance, post-processing expanded JSON-LD or by generating expanded JSON-LD with the annotations added in your own custom way, and then use compaction to make sure that this mapping just happens. The corner case of that is, which is actually in the example, that given that the example has three nodes with IDs, regular compaction would not frame them in any special way, so you would end up with a graph keyword with a list of the three nodes, unless this annotation key somehow meant that this node is scheduled for inclusion by an annotation container, so do not put it in the graph list. I don't know how much more complex that would make the compaction algorithm in general. All I know is that if we support round tripping, the compaction algorithm has to understand annotation in a special way either way, so it might make sense that this would work.
There was one other corner case that I was concerned about, and that's the one where in expanded form you have, let's say, three items that are annotations and then a fourth one that does not have annotation associated with it. I was wondering what happens in that case. So basically, if we're going to round trip this stuff and it's in expanded form and you have, you know, four items in a list, three of them are marked as annotations and the last one is not, what happens in that case? Does it get dropped? Does it show up somewhere else?
It wouldn't match.
So you're saying for the term to match, everything has to have an annotation property associated with it?
Yeah, I would say. I mean,
yes.
That's how we do it with all the other cases.
Okay. Nicholas, you're on the queue.
Yeah, what Marcus said.
Okay, so are we ready to do a proposal on this then?
Well, so are we going to... Do we want to make it round-trippable or not?
There are two questions. One of them is whether or not we add the annotation property, and the second proposal is going to decide whether or not we want to round-trip it. So right now, I think the first proposal is whether or not we want to add the annotation property as a mechanism to JSON-LD. And then we'll have a discussion on whether or not we want it to round-trip. Go ahead.
My vote basically depends on the round trippability. So that's why I'm asking.
And it sounds like what we're saying is that with the proposal that Nicholas put in for adding annotation into the object, that we would be able to round trip it. And Greg said that he wouldn't be opposed to it. He doesn't necessarily like it, but he wouldn't be opposed to us doing that if the consensus of the group is that.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on it, Marcus?
Well, I think if we introduce such a mechanism, we should make it round-trippable. Otherwise, I don't really see a use case for it, because you shouldn't depend on the structure anyway. If you're using JSON-LD, otherwise you're using JSON-LD as plain old JSON.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So then I guess the two proposals. Oh, go ahead, Marcus.
Yeah. So I would be against including it without expanding it, so without preserving it in expansion, and considering it in compaction. But I would be fine with including it if it's round tripable.
We could vote the other way around then and say the first proposal is if annotations are supported, should they be round trippable, and plus one, minus one on that, and then actually decide whether to add it in the shape that we've decided we wanted.
Any objections to that? Okay, let's do that proposal then. Container annotation is added to the JSON LD syntax, the feature must be round trippable through non-trivial from compact to expand back to compact. Wishing I would have put like plus point 0.8 or 0.7, because I would be fine with it.
I'm conflicted. I really like it, and I don't like it as an RDF head.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's enough for the. Let's see, Francois, you did. Do we have anyone else on the call? Yeah. Okay. Doesn't seem like there are any minus ones at this point, so let's go ahead and resolve this. And then the proposal is add container annotation to the JSON LD syntax. Oh, I guess that's just it. Add container annotation to the JSON LD syntax. I was going to say as described in issue 196, but that might confuse people as we're not doing certain things in there. We should probably make it very clear in the meeting minutes that we're not supporting the microdata use case yet. And if Greg, if we work through the how to make it work, if there's a proposal for that, then we can make this add it to this set of resolutions in the future. Does that work for you, Greg?
Yeah. Okay. I'll see if I can spend some time on it.
I mean, and not just you. I don't mean to single you out, but I think that resolving the microdata use case is important. But we can do it at a later time. I think this proposal allows us the flexibility to solve that problem.
That's fine.
Okay. All right. So the proposal is add container annotation to the JSON LD syntax. And Lynn, I'm assuming you're a plus one on this. Who else? Dave Lane. Okay. All right. Lynn, do you have any outstanding concerns about this feature?
No, I don't have any outstanding concerns. Of course, I'll have to see once there's an implementation to test it out just to make sure it works. But did my audio cut out, did you say?
Yeah, it did. You said you don't have any outstanding features, blank, and then it works. Yeah.
Okay. I don't have any concerns at the moment. of course, once it's implemented, I'll have to test it and make sure that it works as I expect that it will, but it seems pretty clear to me from the proposal. So I think it should work as we need it to.
Okay. Are there any outstanding issues that Drupal needs us to address quickly in the next week or two?
No, I think that this should get us set for feature freeze. Of course, I'll post issues if we run into anything that hasn't really come up before, but I think we should be pretty much set.
Okay, great. Well, thank you, Lynn, for joining us on the call, and especially thanks to everyone in the working group for working through this issue and figuring something out that works for everyone. It's definitely not the cleanest thing, but I think we keep doing a very good job of being practical in this group, and that's a very good thing, I think. Okay. The next thing up on the agenda are the list of issues that Marcus outlined. Unless other people feel like we should resolve the container language thing, Marcus?
Just a question to Lynn. What about the container, the graph container proposal? Do we still need that, or?
If we're supporting this through annotations, then we don't really need the graph. We're going to use one or the other. I would be happy to use the graph one as well, but we don't absolutely need it.
Okay, so I don't know what the others think about this specific issue, but I think it's quite complex, and so I would rather either put it on hold or say we are not going to support it in 1.0 then.
I just say let's just not address it.
Yep. Yeah, I think we should push it off to a different version of JSON-LD.
So should we vote on that?
We can, yeah. Let me find the agenda item here. That's agenda item 3.
Is there an open issue for it?
Issue 195.
Yes, it's issue 195.
Oh, yeah.
And then let me get the link for this guy. Okay, great, Marcus. So the group basically, does anyone in the group disagree with postponing this feature to a later version of JSON-LD? On the addition of... I guess defer, postpone the addition of... push the addition of container graph to the JSON-LD specification. It's badly worded, but I think it... Okay, so the proposal is basically to push it off to a different version. Plus 10x1z. Okay. That's resolved. Sorry, Lynn. Okay, that's resolved. Anything else on this issue before we move on to the list of issues that Marcus raised? Okay, good. Marcus, do you want to go through the issues? Do you have a pretty good feel of each one and what the final proposal is?
Yeah, I think so. So I don't know. should we just go through each issue and list the proposals, or how should we do it?
Yep. Yeah, let's read off the we'll put a topic line in for each one like this. Link to the issue like so.
Done.
Yep. Thank you, Nicholas. And then a brief overview of the
okay.
of where we are, Marcus, and then a proposal and vote. Sound good? So we've got the first two items,
yeah.
And give us a brief overview of this, and then we'll put in the proposal.
Sure. Okay, so this issue is basically to allow to kind of decouple a term when advocab is used, because otherwise every property would automatically be expanded by using advocab as the kind of a global prefix. And I think Nicholas proposed to allow to set @id to null to, well, prevent that expansion. Currently, there is no way, and setting it to null would just remove the term definition from the active context. So if the term was bound to a different IRI and you set it to null, it would be bound again to advocab. So we have two proposals for this one here. One is to keep the current behavior, which is we do not allow to decouple it, and the other one is that we do allow to decouple it by setting the ID to null.
Is it not the case that if we set the ID to something that was not a valid IRI, that it would have the same effect?
Well, that depends. We never check for IRI validity, I think.
Francois, you're on the queue.
Does the grammar actually allow to use terms that wouldn't extend to anything? I mean, a valid JSON-LD document, as far as I understood, the grammar actually cannot contain properties, keys, that keys that are not terms or IRIs, for the time being, at least.
Yeah, I think this is the discussion of within the context. If you either define a property to be null or the ID of a property and its expanded definition to be null.
Okay,
so
typically this proposal would actually allow use keys that map to some term in the context, but that expand to nothing and are dropped from the expanded form, in the extended form.
No, the question is, if you set advocab to an IRI, then every property gets expanded to an IRI. And there is no way to prevent that currently. And with this proposal, by setting a term to null, you could prevent that term gets expanded to a full IRI.
And what would it be expanded to?
Sorry, I couldn't hear.
Your audio is a little hard to understand, Francois.
Oh, sorry. What would the term be expanded to if it's not extended to
an IRI? Maybe if you just
IRI.
Open the issue, then you will see it.
So I think that basically if vocab was set and under the proposal, if we set, say, the term foo with an ID of null, even though the vocab was set, that term would not expand and therefore would be eaten during expansion.
Right.
And example.
That's proposal one, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
so that's exactly what I understood and what I tried to explain with my own words. So that's okay. We're on the... You don't have to understand this. We're on the same page. That's good.
Okay.
Okay.
Do we have... does everyone understand what this issue is doing then? Can we do a straw poll on it? With the straw poll, just do a there are two votes in the straw poll. Just do a plus, like, for example, I'm going to do plus 0.5 for proposal 1 plus 0.4 for proposal 2.
Before we get on to that, I'm just wondering if we can explore some other alternatives.
Sure.
For instance, one of the things that we've considered is specifically disallowing terms, the properties to be blank nodes, which would be in keeping with the RDF restrictions. So I think if that was the case, then if you defined a property B to be a blank node, it would have the same effect, and it wouldn't require us to sort of change the existing behavior that null causes definitions to be removed from the active context, which, frankly, I think I like how that works. It's rather than storing negative information. I don't know. What do people think about properties as I arise?
Nicholas, you're on the queue.
There might be a problem with that in the future if, for instance, RDF 2.0 or something would allow properties to be blank nodes. I've seen, I think, notation tree usage like that, where you essentially do poor man's reification by declaring a property in line as a blank node.
Yeah, and there's actually some other active discussions about expanding the RDF model to include pretty much anything. So
it
perhaps that doesn't work. Yeah. All right.
The same concerns from me. Okay. Any other input on these two proposals before we straw poll? Okay. So that's what are my preferences.
Really. And so is this just a theoretical consideration, or is there an actual use case that's driving this?
My use case is that, for instance, the rev stuff I needed in my compact JSON I would have no clean way of undefining that rev key.
I see.
Without and still be able to use vocab.
Okay, I think proposal 1 has it. Anyone else disagree?
Proposal 1 is the only one that got no negatives, so, yeah.
Okay, next topic issue 166, out of conformance section. Marcus?
So, on that issue, basically you just said it, we should add, or it was requested that we add a conformance section to the JSON-LD syntax specification. Francois already wrote it. It's in a pull request, and I think most of us already reviewed it. Hang on just a second, that's fine. It's pull request 194. Find the link in a second. Here. Here. Here are the changes, and I think Richard made a minor remark just before the telecon that's basically just about removing one sentence, but otherwise, I think, otherwise he has no objections either. And as I just see, Francois already made that change, so we could go ahead and just merge Francois' changes and then see if those changes already address the issue and we could close the issue as well. But the proposal would basically just be to merge Francois' pull request.
Okay, so does this capture the proposal, Marcus, what I just put in IRC?
Yeah, I just copied the one that was in the issue tracker.
I'm going to say we should use the proposal I put in there because it makes it clear that we should add a conformance section as well.
Yeah,
I guess it kind of,
sure.
it's more, yeah, verbose. More explicit.
Yeah.
Let's just hold on a second. Let me try to remove this.
So, with the, I'm laughing because the program to do the search and replace is me.
Yeah. Oh, didn't we add support for that?
No.
Oh, well, there you go. So instead
we'll,
of that, perhaps
we'll
the search and replace.
So Manu, are you POSIX or Perl 5 or X compliant?
I don't even know. I think I'd like to be POSIX, but I think I have to be Perl 5, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Issue. Anything else on this issue before we move on?
Does your proposal also mean that we close the issue?
Yes. I mean, once we have a resolution, I think we can just close the issue.
It's both of the issue. This and 194 both get closed.
That's correct. Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, next up is issue 169.
So, 169 was the clarified
so this is
meaning of most. Do you want to introduce that, Greg?
No, go ahead. I think the gist of this was to remove... to replace a node definition with node, just node, and to remove node reference. Is that right? There's so many proposals in there. Go ahead, Marcus. Sorry.
Yeah, so basically there was some feedback from the RDF working group, which was basically that node definitions are, well, the term node definitions is not clear. And what it means if there are multiple node definitions with the same ID, is that the same node or is it different or are that different nodes? And we had, I think, two proposals there, which would basically be more or less just changing some of the terminology. So one would be to remove the term node reference because that's not really needed. It's just, well, a syntactical construct more or less. And the second one is to rename node definitions to node object, because that implies that, well, it's not really a definition, because normally there is just one definition and not multiple. And it is also more explicit that a node is a JSON object.
Any issues with either proposal? Greg, you're on the queue.
Yeah, there's something just thinks that that removing the notion of a node reference is, I'm just hope that doesn't really bite us. Also, I think we want to be clear that a node with an ID, or for that matter, just an empty object, does not really define a node. Right, it doesn't create one. That sort of goes towards Richard's concerns about either figuring out how to map these things that only have an ID to something in RDF, or removing them altogether.
Well, we can't
really do that in expansion, right? Because in that case, it really is serving the purpose of a reference. We might be able to do something in flatten. Certainly, the RDF transformation stuff already removes it.
Well, I don't think that an object with just an ID doesn't define a node. It defines a node just as well. It's just that you have no other properties for that node. Whether it fits defined or not depends, or whether it fits a freestanding node depends how it's used within JSON-LD. So if there is a reference to it, or if it's a top-level object, or but that's a different.
If we consider it when flattening, right? If you have basically a node with just an ID, when you flatten and there is no references to that node, then it really it's sort of saying there exists a point that is disconnected from a graph, so it's not really part of a graph.
Yeah, but even when flattened, you don't know just by looking at the node reference, that syntactic construct, if it's a free floating node or whether some other object references that node.
I guess, Greg, I think I have the same concerns as Greg in that the reason we had two different pieces of terminology for this is that when we talk about we actually use both types of terminology, node definition and node reference, in the algorithms pretty heavily, if I remember.
Checked it, and we don't use it heavily. I think there are seven occurrences or something like that in the whole API stack.
Okay. Well, in that case, I'm less concerned about it. I think most of my concern comes from not knowing the impact that this decision will have on the pros in the spec, if it's going to make it more difficult to understand. My gut tells me that it's going to be a bit more difficult to understand, but if you've looked through it, Marcus, and you don't feel that that's true, then I'm fine with the two proposals. Yeah, Nicholas's point is very good. Are the seven occurrences of this important? Like, would they suffer if we didn't have the node reference terminology?
No, because basically in most, I don't know how many exactly, but let's say in 5 out of 7 of those occurrences, node reference and node definition are used together. So we don't even need to distinguish them. It's just some very minor cases where it matters, and there we can say that, well, there shouldn't be other properties there, but
right.
It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Greg, is that enough to alleviate your concerns, or do you have other concerns?
I don't know. I do see that it doesn't have a big effect on the actual pros. I'm just wondering whether not having a concept for it will be a problem.
So I'll
I mean, it's sort of like the difference in RDF concepts between a triple and just an IRI. Because basically node reference is our way of describing an IRI.
So I'll note that this is editorial, and we can always go back and fix it. It's not, I mean, it is conceptual. It's editorial. It's conceptual, but it's still editorial. So if we make a mistake and it turns out that the prose is difficult to understand, we can always undo this in the future. I think if there's a chance for us to simplify the spec, and this seems like we could simplify it, we should definitely attempt it. And if it doesn't work out, we can always undo it. At least that's my position. Okay, so let's straw poll for proposal 1 and 2. Okay, so that is both of those resolved. Next topic up is issue 180, making the link to RDF more apparent in the specification.
Yeah, that's another editorial change, I would say. And it's basically just about mentioning RDF in the introduction of the JSON-LD specification and say that JSON-LD is a serialization of RDF. And the proposal is
I removed legitimate. Great. Any concerns about this? Since everyone's plus one-ing already, I take that as a no. Okay, resolved. Next item up is issue 181, limit divergence between JSON-LD and RDF data models. Marcus?
So basically that's, well, we have some things where we diverge from the RDF data model, and that's that we allow unconnected nodes, and that's nodes which are not connected to any other nodes, so basically they don't form triples in the end, and the proposal there is to add a statement that auto should not use such unconnected nodes. We also allow edge labels, the properties to be blank nodes, and the proposal there is to add a should not for blank nodes as properties. The third item is that language tags should be normalized to lowercase. The proposal there is that we add a must for all processors to normalize language tags to lowercase when processing documents. And the last issue is the scope of blank node labels, and the proposal is to add a statement that basically says that blank node labels are scoped to the JSON-LD document. And I just see Richard put a comment in there, and yeah. So he agrees with the last two, which is scope of blank node labels and lowercase language tags, but he would like to make sure that those are reflected in the algorithms as well, not just as nodes or something. And for the other two, unconnected nodes and properties, blank nodes as properties, he doesn't think that JSON-LD needs those features. And he would prefer that the algorithms would either remove them or translate them to something that can be expressed in RDF, right, into the RDF data model.
I think translating them to something that can be represented in the RDF data model is a pretty... it's a difficult thing to do, meaning that we're gonna have to have a lot of conversation of what the proper way to express it in RDF is. So I'd rather not do that, and I would be fine with us specifying in the algorithm that those values should be ignored or not processed or any of that, anything along those lines. Greg, you're up. Thank you.
Well, so with regard to blank edges, I think as we discussed on the last issue, this might actually become an RDF use case at some point. So specifically adding something that would remove them or translate them, I think, would then create a compatibility issue in the future. So I would prefer to use the should language that properties should not be blank nodes. With regards to unconnected nodes, I think it's algorithmically difficult to do that in expand and compact. It is done, and perhaps we should add something to be more explicit about this in the in the true RDF model that it will not result in anything that's output. And we could also consider doing something in Flatten that would cause them to be removed, although I think that would require that we look at every node definition or node object. And
your audio dropped out, Greg.
I said we should look at every node object, perhaps, and look to see if a node is used, which is in the sort of in the map. So that does add some algorithmic complexity, but does allow us to eliminate these dangling references.
Okay.
That wasn't a proposal. It was just a thought.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't hear anything I disagreed with there. I think that the core of the issue is that the RDF working group does not want us to support things that are not supported in RDF in JSON-LD. But I'm concerned about people. I'm concerned about people saying that using, you know, well, it's a complex issue. Rather than go into it, I think that the language addresses most of this. The language in 181 addresses most of these concerns in the RDF working group, coupled with what Greg just said. You know, making the APIs, the algorithms for the 1.0 API explicit in that they don't support that kind of markup, but leaving the door open so that in the future, if we need to add it, we can.
Well, I mean, unconnected nodes is also kind of a bit theoretical. I mean, you could also argue that all unconnected nodes exist because RDF is based on open vault assumption. So you basically don't say anything. It's just, it's there, but you don't have a triple for it.
Yeah, okay. I'd just say let's pass the proposal as stated. And if anything, we might note that we could add a note or some non-normative notes that describe the behavior.
In the minutes. Okay, and that's resolved. Issue 182 is next. Graph versus data set. This one seems like it might be a little tricky. Not from our standpoint, but from the RDF working group standpoint. Anyway, go ahead, Marcus.
So with 182?
182, that's correct, yeah.
Okay. So basically this issue is about whether JSON-LD is a serialization for graphs or data sets. The difference is that a graph is a set of triples, whereas a data set is a set of graphs. And the data set consists of one default graph and a number of named graphs. And a few proposals were made to introduce a different MIME type to distinguish between JSON-LD documents that just contain a default graph, so that serialize a graph, RDF graph, and another MIME type to label JSON-LD documents that serialize data sets. And basically the proposals all go in the same direction. We should make clear what JSON-LD serializes and whether we need to or whether we want to introduce different MIME types if we want to have two kind of versions of JSON-LD, one for just graph serialization and one for dataset serialization as well. I think it got clearer when I after I post the proposals.
Nicholas, you're on the queue while he's doing that.
The thing is that mostly, well, every other RDF format in use, apart from Trig, but the standard ones in Turtle as well, only represent graphs. And my concern is how this will be treated by, for instance, the Sparkle read-write APIs and the perhaps other read-write approaches to RDF by the linked data platform, for instance. My key point being that, for instance, in Sparkle you can define, you can put a document to a specific IRI, and in the quad store you use underneath, that IRI becomes the named graph for this document. I don't know how these behave if what you try to include there is actually a set of graphs. For instance, I would hope, but I do not know, if there is only a default graph in there, it is merged somehow to the named graph, which you've defined externally to the document in the API request. So there are nuances here which I am not knowledgeable enough to determine the consequences of, which is why I don't really know where I stand on this issue.
Greg, you're on the queue.
So the way my implementations deal with this, and I think we might use some language that sort of describes it, is really dependent upon the user. So if I turn a JSON-LD document that is sort of expresses data sets, if I put it into a graph container, or if I put it into a named graph within a data set, then it has the effect of merging all of the data sets together into a single graph. However, if I load a data set with the document, then it recreates the data set. So I think that the resolution to this might be that the behavior is dependent upon how the client or the agent makes use of the data set information or the name information that is expressed in the quads that are generated. So if you can create a flattened graph by throwing away the name information of the quads. I think that's the way I use these things. If I want to be sure I'm not creating a data set, I put it into a sort of a graph object. If I want it in a data set, then I basically load a data set, or I think it's a repository in my case, using that document.
Your audio dropped out, Greg.
So I either load it into a container that does not express named graphs, or I load it into a container that does express named graphs, or I load it in a complainer to a container that expresses named graphs, where I explicitly give the data I'm importing a name. So in either the first or the third case, it has the effect of flattening a data set into a graph.
Yeah, I think the way we with the web payment stuff, we don't use name graphs yet. The only reason we needed to use them is for digital signatures, and in that case, all of the data that we deal with, the API endpoints that we use understand that what they're getting in is a data set. So by default, the entire system most of it works with the default graph, but it treats all the information it gets as a data set, not as just an RDF graph. And we don't really tend to care all that much about Sparkle or Turtle or anything that does not support quads yet, because we just don't use it in our system. Now, there is an interesting bit here about RDFA, because we do use RDFA, and because RDFA does not have data set support effectively, name graph support, we have to do some kind of hacky things to express the data, express digital signatures on graphs without the notion of having a data set. That's actually kind of a problem for us. So I think what Nicholas is saying is that, you know, there are issues with this. And basically when you mix syntax that has data set support with syntax that does not have data set support, you find out that you have to do weird things to make it work. But that does not mean it's not doable. It just means that there are some caveats there. That's it. I think JSON-LD is a data set syntax. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Okay.
My problem is that we don't, I mean, Greg's description is good, and I hope that systems do that way, but as it stands, you cannot have graphs within graphs, and graphs have no semantic meaning, so it points to that direction, I'd presume, but I don't know for sure, and I don't know, I haven't been able to digest everything in the issue text, so I don't know if there are hints from Richard there which points to either direction, but I haven't seen anything definitive about that yet, although he says something about the RDF working group should react somewhere. Yeah,
could we,
in the last comment.
Okay, so Nicholas is raising just general concern that this is a fairly complex issue, and it does matter what we say. The specific wording does matter. Could we consolidate all of the proposals? Let's not deal with this issue right now, but maybe one of us could consolidate all of the proposals into something a little more succinct, and then we would have something that we could kind of look at, because it's hard to see how all of these proposals play with each other. And I think that there are a couple of these proposals that can be combined together. But let's not do that on the call, because that will take some time. Is anyone opposed to deferring a resolution on this until we have a more a simplified proposal or a more specific proposal?
I think the purpose for all these proposals was to basically act as straw men to get a sense of the group. And I think it sort of served that. So I can attempt to create a sort of roll-up proposal based upon this, although I don't know, for instance, proposal one, I think I saw Marcus with a minus one, and I was about to do a one on that. So I don't know that we have consensus, but I can try to make something that's a more specific, cohesive proposal.
If you could, that would be great. I think that would help us kind of move along on this. It would. I think that would help a lot. And then people can nitpick that one proposal instead of us nitpicking eight different proposals. Okay, Greg to create a unified proposal or two for issue. Which issue is this? 182.
But as Richard puts out, some of these things overlap issues working group needs to probably deal with.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know that we can fully resolve this until there's sort of buy-off there.
Yeah, we can try. I mean, I think, it's going to be so once you come up with that proposal and we resolve it, we can throw it over the fence to the RDF working group and see what they have to say about it. I think it's easier for them to work with something when another group has made a decision and they need to figure out how to align, you know, whether or not it's aligned with RDF concepts, and if not, why? Okay. Okay. All right, so let's defer making a resolution on this. Issue 189, I thought this was a playground issue.
Well, it's not. Richard raised it for the playground, but it's a spec issue as well. So the question here is whether we allow objects to be the value of type, something like, well, it's already in the title. So if you have could, if you can have at type and then the value of that is an object with an at ID, we introduce. Sorry,
go ahead, Marcus.
Greg, I think, introduced that some time ago to address one of Nicholas's use cases, but after that we introduced that use RDF type flag for compaction, which solves Nicholas' use case, so we don't need to support that anymore, and that structure is also a bit problematic because it kind of suggests that developers could also put other properties in that type object, and those would be lost. At least that's how the current spec is, how the algorithms are currently specified. So the proposal would be to not support that construct.
Yep. Anyone opposed to this proposal? I thought we had already resolved to do this.
I guess three, four of us had.
Yeah, I think that's a bug in the JSON-LDJS implementation. Anyway, this will make it a bug. Francois. Okay, anything else on that before we move on? Okay, issue 133 is up, the language container type. It's related to issue 159.
Well, didn't we just resolve that?
We did graph, not language container.
Oh, okay, yeah, that's right. Okay, sorry. So basically, since we now have that annotation feature, we could simplify the language container and just allow strings as the values of a language map. And the effect would be that it would expand to language stacked strings. So just a second. Try to find the proposal.
Proposal 3, here, I got it. I think that's the remaining one that we agreed upon.
Yeah. So, yeah, exactly. So the proposal basically says that all values of a language map must be strings or array of strings, and when expanded, those strings are tagged with the language. And when compacted, only language tagged strings will match a term which has a container, a language container.
Any opposition to this proposal? I have one question. This effectively makes it so that only plain text strings can be used in language maps. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So if I have any object will not match that when expanding?
So in my plus one to it, I did clarify that for expansion, I would say that non-string values of a property with language maps are expanded to use the property, but they lose any language association, so they don't round trip. I'll paste that in there. And that could be a corollary.
Right. Francois, you're on the queue.
Just to note, most for the sake of recording it than anything else, that now that we have the container annotation style, the language, the container language position seems unneeded and maybe a bit confusing for developers actually writing documents, because in the case of container language, they won't be able to write objects down as values of the language tags, whereas in the case of an annotation, they could just do whatever they want. So I understand the need, because it's language and it's a common need, and it actually exists in a RDF, so it can be transformed to something relevant. I'm just saying that it might be a bit confusing in real use.
Yeah, so basically we could do without this feature. It's a nice feature, but we could do without it, because this other annotation container thing kind of addresses it. I mean, you have to the annotation stuff is a little more flexible than this language map stuff.
Well, the key difference is that the annotation stuff doesn't round trip to RDF.
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah,
Nicholas, you're in the queue.
What Marcus said.
Sorry.
Well, so I guess I'll speak up in favor of it, because I think it does really address the issue where when you have terms that really express information for which there's language, that it makes it convenient to get to the different values. So title, for instance, I mean, if you look any of the result of say DBpedia serializations, where there is a property with 10 versions of every 10 values, each of which with a different language, this is really what it's intended to do, so that I can easily get to the language information from those properties. So the difference between this and annotation is that it's not giving it in a form that I can use, which specifically relates to language, and for that matter, removing the requirement that we express those values in expanded form.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I do think that just for consistency's sake, if we happen to get data that's expressed that way with things that aren't basically language strings, that they should expand to use the property, but they would not survive around tripping.
Wait, I didn't understand that last thing you said, Greg.
So if I had something like title / en / 1, that would not be round trippable, which would be fine. Which means that the usage of that within a graph would not make use of a language map property.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. So any opposition to the proposal? Let's go ahead and restate the proposal. Here, n plus 1 minus 1.
Well, I think we have to change it if we want to support what Greg just said, because there is a must be string
yeah.
for array of strings.
Right.
Greg, could you reword the proposal?
Yeah, okay, let me try to do that.
I wouldn't really mind either way, but I can, well, hopefully nobody puts out data like that, but you never know.
See if there's anything I need. Okay, I think that's all it is. I'm not sure that must is wrong. Just because it just means that it's not a conforming document, but our general principle is to try to make sense of the data that we receive.
Yeah, you're right. So probably we should change.
Let me just
write them a new rig.
The automatic substitution. So I think the original proposal was fine.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, so that's resolved. Next up, issue 178.
So those issues are now for the API spec, and this specific issue is about renaming the JSON API spec to something else. And there have been various proposals. One is, of course, to not rename the API spec, so keep the name JSONLD API spec. One is to rename it to JSONLD Core Processing. Another one is JSONLD Algorithms and API. Then Richard made the proposal to rename it to JSONLD Definitions, Processing, and API. And related to that, so 4B is to also rename the JSONLD syntax spec to JSONLD JSON for linked data. So I will post the proposals.
So the I have concerns. I understand what we're trying to do. We're trying to move a lot of the heavy-duty technical normative stuff into the JSONLD definitions processing and API spec, or what is now the API spec. I'm concerned that RDF working group members are going to complain that there's no normative text in the JSON for linked data.
Well, in which case it would be a note, I guess.
Yeah, I guess.
I think Richard thinks of it as a primer.
Yeah.
And although I lamentably have not read through the documents in their entirety for a long time, the sentiment agrees with me. But I have no stronger evidence than that. There is something to the view that Richard presents, because it's in the same form as the most other W3C specs.
Yeah, I just hate calling things a primer. The hate is a strong word. I feel that
What documents do when people come to RDFA? What are they probably don't read the core spec, right?
They read the is different. They don't even know that the primer exists.
Well, then that's an advertising or marketing
problem.
It is,
but I mean, there's something that drives them to. I think, well, this is completely. I have no data to back this up, but I think web developers tend to want to go to the source of the information, like the source of what's happening. And so I think in the case that we have with JSONLD, we're in fairly decent shape, because one of the documents says, you know, this is, well, one says this is a syntax, so I think a lot of web developers would look at that and say, and read through it as the first document that they hit. Or when you search for JSONLD, what's the first document that you get? Hopefully it's the syntax spec. because primers tend to be fairly high level. So, for example, with the RDFA documents, we have the RDFA primer, the RDFA core, and then XHTML plus RDFA and a whole variety of different documents, and it was very difficult to figure out which one you should be reading first. We've seen a number of people start reading the XHTML plus RDFA spec first, or they read RDFA Lite and think that's the whole thing. So I think that the main concern that I have is what document are people going to hit naturally from Google, not what document we intended to be the primer and which one we intended to be the API spec. To give one example of what I think would be awful is if people did a Google search and the first document that they see is, JSON LD definitions. If they see JSON LD definitions processing an API and they click on that and go to that as the first thing that they hit, that would be pretty awful, I think, because that's just, it looks really, really complicated, and I think people that don't know any better would go away with the wrong notion. And JSON LD colon JSON for linked data, I don't really feel is a title that web developers would think that's what they should go read first when they see that in a Google search listing. Now again, I have no data to back that up, but I think whatever titles we pick have to be something that shows up in a Google search result and conveys the message that they should be reading this document. In fact, I would hate for JSON LD definitions processing an API to be the first hit in Google. That would be a disaster. So I don't, these are general thoughts. I don't know what I think about the proposals necessarily right now. That's just what I'm hoping that whatever we decide, I'm hoping it accomplishes that. In some cases, I think an introduction to JSON LD for what's now the JSON LD syntax document would be better than JSON LD colon JSON for linking data or linked data.
Nicholas is on the queue.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not looking at the IRC. Go, Nicholas. Oh.
No worries. I'm thinking.
I can go first.
I just want to type what 4B should be enough reference like that. one thought that struck me, which is not based on real empirical evidence either, is that sometimes the primers are written for an audience that doesn't exist. As Manu said, either you are a developer who wants to see all the details, or you want to see tutorials or blog entries rather than a very long primer document. These are, what Manu said is important. The title should convey the gist of the intent of the document, and I agree that it doesn't necessarily do so with the current proposals. Greg?
Yeah, so setting aside for a moment what the best titles are, I do see a lot of advantage to putting all of the normative requirements for JSON LD in a single document. And I think Richard's title, definitions processing an API, would work for that. In terms of the concern about someone hitting that coming up first in a Google search, I think that is largely in our control. When we are writing blog entries and we put in links, do we reference that or do we reference, say, the introduction to JSON LD? And that's the type of thing that's gonna set that up. Also, I think regarding someone getting to the wrong document, if we are pretty explicit in the introduction that if you are looking for an overview of JSON-LD, please see Introduction to JSON-LD. That'll redirect people that get to the hardcore document that didn't want to be there quicker. However, if they get to the Introduction to JSON-LD, then we can also link to the normative document. So that gives us with one normative document and another sort of informative note that I think probably expresses what our original intent for having a relatively lightweight JSON-LD syntax document was in the first place.
I just did a search for RDFA in Google, and interestingly enough, the primer shows up first, core shows up second, the RDFA.info website shows up third, and the Wikipedia entry shows up fourth, which is about what we want. I don't know what JSON-LD does. JSON-LD, searching for JSON-LD, shows the JSON-LD.org website first, which I think is good, and then the specs. The live specs, which is bad, playground third, and then my category of JSON-LD on my blog fourth, and then the Wikipedia entry fifth. And then the API and the syntax are way further down, and they link to old versions of the API and the syntax. So our SEO needs work.
Well, my results are quite different, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which, thanks to the Google personalization, it's going to be different for all of us, I guess.
It's fairly the same. The Wikipedia entries ended up a bit higher on mine.
I get Primer Core, Wikipedia, RDFA, and List Apart.
Yeah. This is bike shed. I feel like this whole discussion is bike shedding it, and I think we could really spend a lot of time talking about what the ideal title for this should be.
There's also a proposal to not rename it, and we could also always reopen that issue if someone is not happy with that resolution.
Could we just postpone the decision on this?
I think so. To provoke an action if it's sorely needed. I need to think about it. I'm not sure I'm happy with the current situation either.
Same here.
Yeah.
Okay, let's defer this for the time being. Issue 179 is next. We're actually out of time. It's the end of the call. We made it through a fantastic number of issues today. Great job, everyone. And thank you, Marcus, for pushing us to do this, because I think that's good. We cleaned up a lot of stuff today, and we resolved one of the biggest outstanding issues. So I think we should declare victory and have a great rest of the week. Anything else that we should keep in mind before the call next week?
Okay. There is no RDF call tomorrow for anyone that missed that.
Oh, okay. Great. Thanks so much, everyone. Have a great rest of the week.
Right. Bye.